AEW Dynamite tonight went head-to-head for the first time since April of last year with NXT. Of course, the NHL is broadcasting on Wednesday. That's why we had a rare Tuesday episode of Dynamite. Championship Tuesday is what they were calling it. Four titles on the line tonight. I mean, you could take your pick in this company as far as what titles were on the line. And it was highlighted by a AEW World Championship main event. They were in Cincinnati. Hangman Page, one-on-one with Jon Moxley. This was Moxley's hometown. They've been building this matchup now for many weeks. This was the night that Hangman was going to try to get the belt back that he lost to CM Punk back at Double or Nothing. And they were having a very good main event of actually up to that point what I thought was a very good show until Hangman Page took a bad bump. And he got laid out by a King Kong lariat that he took from Jon Moxley. It looked like he was going for the inside-out bump that sometimes people will take on that clothesline. Didn't quite get the full rotation on it, but just the way that he landed, he looked stiff. He looked like he was out. He was face down on the mat. Referee Paul Turner goes over to check on him. Hangman was not moving. Called the doctor over to check on him, and then came the ref stoppage. Jon Moxley retains the AEW World Championship, but that's insignificant. The story right now is Hangman Adam Page and how badly is he hurt. Did not look good. Now, you have to understand something. You know, this is a company in AEW that has gotten criticism in the past in terms of people suffering injuries on their show. Were they looked after properly? Were they not looked after properly? People made a whole stink about it when Matt Hardy took that just sickening bump and smacked his head on the concrete in that match he was having with Sammy Guevara. So this is a company that was not going to take any chances. My hope is that Hangman Page is not seriously hurt, that this was AEW taking every precaution possible to protect him and make sure that he was okay, and following protocol and mobilizing his neck, putting him on a gurney, stretching him out, and that we'll come to find out that maybe he suffered a stinger, maybe he was just shook up. Right now, there is no update on Hangman Page. Should there be an update here during the stream, I will keep checking. I will bring it to you live. All we know right now is that he was stretchered out of the ring. They strapped him to a gurney. They loosened the bottom rope. Now, none of this was shown on TV. They did not show any of this on TV. At no point did this come across as an angle. Everything about this screamed completely the opposite of storyline, because they were scrambling here in the last 7 or 8 minutes of the show. This injury happened with about 8 minutes left in the show. And so you could tell from the announcers, you could tell from, you know, Moxley, you could tell from the way everybody was behaving that this was not something that they were anticipating. They had to stretch. They had to kill for time. I think what we got at the end of the show with MJF was going to happen regardless of the end of the match. They just had to find another way to get to it because they didn't know what to do. So they ran down the matches again for next week. So anybody wondering, was this a shoot or not? Was this an angle? Was this a work? No, it wasn't. And again, we don't have any actual update right now on Hangman Page other than he took a bad bump. Again, it didn't look as if he landed on his head. It looked to me, honestly, just from watching it, like he just took a really stiff clothesline. And he did not have the most graceful landing. And sometimes, like Moxley said in his promo that he cut an impromptu promo at the end of the match to try to kill time. This is a dangerous business. And you can get injured on a simple clothesline. You can get injured on a simple leapfrog or the most basic move. And things can go wrong. And I saw, for example, a few minutes ago, Big E tweeted, you know, prayers for Hangman. Big E knows what it's like, unfortunately, to suffer a serious injury on TV. So I would like to think that AEW would not shoot an angle like this and get everybody worked up, including other talent, and then come to find out that, you know, it was all just part of the show. I wish it was. But again, hopefully, whatever it is not serious. But that is how our world championship match ended tonight, with a ref stoppage. MJF did come out at the end of the show. He did have his poker chip. He did tease that he was going to cash in tonight. We were going to get an impromptu AEW world title match. And then he thought better of it, and he said no. He goes, I want to make sure that when I step in the ring with you, you are 110%. You have no excuses. You cannot fall back on the excuse that, oh, I just finished an exhausting match. He says, I want you fresh, and I want to prove to the world that I earned it. And so it is official now for Full Gear. Next month, it will be Jon Moxley defending the AEW World Championship one-on-one against MJF. Obviously, the Hangman injury casts a cloud over a lot of what we saw tonight. But on the subject of MJF, we saw something else tonight. Before all of that drama unfolded in the main event, we saw something else involving MJF that people are going to be talking about. And people would have been talking more about were it not for what happened to Hangman. And that is MJF in the ring with William Regal, cutting what I believe to be one of the, if not the, frankly, the greatest in-ring promo segment in the history of AEW. This is my new favorite in-ring promo segment in the history of this company. And what we got tonight on this show, the seeds were planted for the eventual MJF babyface turn. Now, I don't know when that's actually going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen soon. I don't know if it's going to happen in a year from now. But what we got tonight was MJF going out there and explaining to the world why he is what he is. What they did was they added another layer to the MJF character by having him explain his backstory, having him go out there and explain what it is that makes him tick and how William Regal was involved in that. Now, I don't know how much of that was real. I don't know how much of that was exaggerated. I don't doubt that at least some of what he was saying in that promo was real. Maybe it was exaggerated for effect. But what we got in that segment was raw emotion, his delivery, even Regal's response. And Regal, you know, a couple of points there, Regal was kind of maybe stumbling around a little bit, but you know, Regal is also one of the greatest stick men in the business. William Regal can cut a promo. He's done that a few times in his career. This is what I was hoping for when we saw the interaction with them a few weeks ago. This right here is what I was waiting for. I was waiting for the in-ring segment. It did not disappoint. It was an incredible segment. We're going to go through the entire thing. This is your Tuesday Night Dynamite review for October 18, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. Hit that subscribe button. Super chats are open. I'll be reading your messages a little bit later on. I do appreciate all the support that you show to me and the stream and all that I do here. It does mean a lot to me. 500 likes is the goal tonight for Be the Booker, if we're going to do that a little bit later on. If you missed it, I went almost 2 hours last night talking about Monday Night Raw 24 hours ago, so you can go back and you can watch that when you're done watching this. We have some news before we even get into anything that happened on the show tonight. And again, any updates, I keep checking just to see if there are any updates on Hangman Page. Anything that I notice here during the stream, I will be sure to break in and let you guys know. Nothing yet. But we do have some news and notes to get to here before we talk about Dynamite as it relates to AEW. And it starts with a story that was broken earlier today by Variety. AEW later on issued its own press release, but Variety broke the news this morning that Ring of Honor World Champion Chris Jericho has re-signed. He has extended his contract with AEW another 3 years that will keep him in the company through the year 2025. Not as long as Jon Moxley's contract extension. Moxley sticking around for another 5 years. Jericho, though, still sticking around long enough at least to shut down any rumors of Chris Jericho going to show up in the Royal Rumble. Is Chris Jericho going to pull a Cody Rhodes and jump to WWE? No, he's not. At least not until 2026. They've got Moxley and Jericho on lock. Two huge signings for Tony Khan. Without Chris Jericho, there is no AEW. And that is not an exaggeration. That is right from the mouth of Tony Khan. He has made that comment before, that it was the Chris Jericho-Kenny Omega match at Wrestle Kingdom back in 2018, and the success, the business success of that match, that ultimately led to the formation of All Elite Wrestling. Without Chris Jericho, there would not be an AEW right now, very likely. And when AEW started, Jericho was a very important part of that. He brought that name recognition from WWE television. He was the first ever AEW World Champion. They're going to try to launch this Ring of Honor brand. I got news on that here in a second. They've made Jericho the face of Ring of Honor by putting the ROH belt on him. Jericho's not just going to be a wrestler, though. According to this press release they put out, Jericho will also increase his responsibilities within AEW serving as a producer and creative advisor, in addition to continuing as a mentor to young talent. And again, that's a, I think, a very important role for people like Jericho and Moxley to be in, to serve in that mentor role to the younger talent and the homegrown talent that they have on that roster. He's a very important person for them to keep around. Even if you're not enamored with his storyline right now, you may not be the biggest Chris Jericho fan for what he's doing on the show, but he does play a very important role in this company. When all that stuff went down at Brawl Out this year, a lot of the reports said that Jericho and Moxley, and even in the weeks leading up to it, when they were having talent meetings and there were already things going on backstage, there was some backstage chaos going on. Two of the names that were mentioned as far as being a calming influence in that locker room and kind of leading the locker room meetings were Chris Jericho and Jon Moxley. So when I say that he serves an important role in this company, what he's doing on television is just a minute part of that. That's a very small part of why he's so important to this company. So that's a big get for Tony Khan as far as keeping Jericho around for another 3 years. Now, I said I had news on Ring of Honor as well. Tony Khan was interviewed by Sports Illustrated. He gave Sports Illustrated more than he gave to Ariel Helwani. He broke some news on Ring of Honor, kind of, broke some news on Ring of Honor. He said that there will soon be great news about the weekly Ring of Honor shows. And he said there will be one more Ring of Honor pay-per-view before the end of the year, and they plan to follow that up with a weekly show in 2023. So again, not exactly major breaking news as far as him dropping any kind of huge hint about when this exactly might end up taking place. We do know the final pay-per-view, though, of the year for Ring of Honor will be Final Battle. And we have a date. It will be Saturday, December 10th in Arlington, Texas, 4 o'clock Eastern start time. And they're starting early. I guess there's a UFC pay-per-view that night. They don't want to run opposite UFC. If Ring of Honor runs opposite UFC, it's not going to end well for Ring of Honor. But that is the date of the final ROH pay-per-view of the year. As far as the weekly show is concerned, again, he didn't drop any hints about exactly where it's going to be, but he has been talking nonstop about how great the relationship is between AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery. I don't see them adding a Ring of Honor television show to TNT or TBS, unless they take Rampage, which is already 85% Ring of Honor anyway. You may as well just call it Ring of Honor at this point. Unless they're going to convert Rampage on Fridays into an ROH show, I think it's way more likely that we end up with a Ring of Honor show on a streaming service, probably something like HBO Max, if I had to venture a guess. That I think, is the more likely landing spot for Ring of Honor. But it sounds like we are getting a little bit closer to an announcement about exactly where this show is going to land and what form it's going to take. So let's get into Dynamite here. The Dynamite show tonight opened with our first of four championship matches on this show. Death Triangle against Best Friends and Orange Cassidy for the Trios Tag Team titles. They were using moving match graphics on the show tonight, which is something I miss in WWE. I just think they look cool. So that's a nice change. I haven't noticed them doing that. They've done it on their social media. I don't know that I've noticed them doing that on TV, though. I'd like to see them using these more often. So Penta and Excalibur mentioned this on commentary. Penta and Rey Fénix had a very busy weekend because they both had matches at Triple Mania. Penta was in the main event wrestling Viano 4 in a mask versus career match. He beat Viano 4. Viano 4 had to unmask. I talked about this on the podcast on Sunday. I remember the Vianos from WCW back in the day. Viano 4, Viano 5. Viano 4 is no more. I said, if Penta would have lost his mask in the match on, I guess it was Saturday, Tony Khan would have had a heart attack. Meanwhile, on that same show, Rey Fénix had a wild match with Vikingo. So they were coming out of that Triple Mania show this weekend. Tony Schiavone actually name-dropped the Elite. I think this is actually an interesting development here. Some people might look at this and say, well, maybe he just had a brain fart and it's just something he said and it wasn't really intentional. But they have gone out of their way to not mention the Elite. They have not mentioned Kenny Omega. They have not mentioned CM Punk. They have not mentioned the Young Bucks. Tonight was the first mention of the Elite. Just the first direct mention of them on TV. Maybe it means nothing, but it's the first time since Brawl Out that we have heard that name mentioned. All three members of Death Triangle wiped out Best Friends and OC with a trio of dives early in the match. They were working over Cassidy for a while after that. There were a lot of crazy spots here. I'm not going to recap them all. Pac went to the timekeeper's table to grab the ring bell hammer. We've seen him do this many times. Ever since he was the All-Atlantic champion, he's won many matches. He just beat Trent Barretta last week. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? He beat him the same way. So he went for the hammer, and Phoenix saw him with it, and Phoenix grabbed it away from his partner and said, "You don't need this. You're not going to cheat." And he threw the hammer away, and while Pac was distracted, he got rolled up for a near fall. Pac landed a German suplex. Cassidy, though, fired back with an orange punch. Trent and Chuck, they got an assisted Storm Zero on Penta and had the match won until Rey Fénix broke up the fall. Fénix followed that up with a sit-out pile driver to Trent for the win. After the match, there was a little bit of dissension in the ranks between the members of Death Triangle, maybe especially Fénix and Pac. Fénix, though, puts his hand out. Pac comes over, shakes his hand. They hug. It's all good. They're all back on the same page. All seems to be well. But the fact that they even teased potential problems between these three was an interesting thing to watch. Look, I would hate to see them break up Death Triangle. I would not break them up, but I also would not complain if we got a singles match between Rey Fénix and Pac. Maybe it could just be like a friendly exhibition match. I would love to see that match. We had Toni Storm defending her interim AEW Women's World Championship against the former world champion Hikaru Shida. Excalibur said that this match is 10 years in the making, and he brought up the fact that these two wrestled in a tag team match back in 2013 in Shida's hometown in Japan. Toni wiped out Shida early with a hip attack to Shida's head. Shida was sitting on the apron, and Toni came off the rope. She's got that sweet, what does she call it? I forgot the name of it. She has a name for it. Sweet cheek music. That's what it is. She hit the sweet cheek music and knocked Shida clear off the apron. I mean, she got her good, and she knocked Shida to the floor heading into a commercial break, picture in picture. So Toni was keeping Shida grounded during the break. Shida made a comeback. Storm cut her off from going to the top rope. She was teasing an avalanche Storm Zero. That's the move she used to beat Serena Deeb a few weeks ago. Shida, though, knocked her down, hit a Meteora for two. Storm floated over a Falcon Arrow attempt, hit a released German suplex, then hit sweet cheap music again in the corner. Storm blocked the Katana. Shida got a quick roll-up for a near fall. Storm got the Snap Tornado DDT and then hit Storm Zero to retain her interim championship. No sooner did the match end, within 2 seconds, Jamie Hayter and Rebel, who has a crutch in her hand, hit the ring, came out of the crowd, they hit the ring, and they immediately attacked Toni Storm. Britt Baker's music hits, and now out comes Britt Baker all by herself, and she's wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey here in Cincinnati, so that went over about as well as you would expect it to go over with this crowd. All of a sudden, Saraya's music hits, and here comes Saraya. She comes down to the ring, she tackles Britt on the floor. This was the most physical that we have seen Paige in 5 years. This was not just some pull-apart brawl. She tackled her to the ground. She was paintbrushing her. She threw her over the barricade. She brawled into the crowd with her. We never saw them again. So they fought off. In the ring, Hayter and Rebel, they were continuing to beat up on Toni Storm when Riho's music hit. Oh boy, I know we have a lot of Riho fans. The Riho regime, they're going to be very happy to see Riho back. I was just kind of like, eh. But I'll tell you what. I may not have cared all that much, but this crowd did. She got a huge reaction, bigger than I thought she would get. So the people, at least in Cincinnati, were happy to see her. We haven't seen her in months. I don't know why. She went back to Japan, I guess. She was wrestling over there. So this is the first time we saw Riho on TV in a while. She took out the heels. She and Toni Storm hugged. So Toni Storm has found herself some backup in Riho now. You know, Thunder Rosa, we don't know when she's going to be back. Thunder Rosa's out of the picture, so Toni Storm needed a new friend, and now she's got her little friend. Say hello to my little friend. Riho is back on TV. Maybe Riho will be challenging for the championship soon. I, you know, when I saw her come out there, I kind of groaned. It's just been there, done that. You know, I look at Riho and I just think, been there, done that. All the women they have on the roster, we don't need to kind of go back to this. Now, if she's just going to be friends with Toni Storm and not challenge her for the title, if it's just a way to reintroduce her back on TV, then that's fine. But I'd like to see them start promoting some fresh names up there as challengers to Toni Storm, at least to buy time until Thunder Rosa is ready to come back. So I wasn't moved by the return of Riho. But again, I know the Riho regime has a lot of members. A lot of people very happy to see Riho. I'm happy for you. Renee Paquette was in the back with FTR. Always good to see FTR in these shows, considering we haven't seen enough of them on Dynamite over the last few months. They were in the back. They were draped in gold. They had their IWGP tag team titles. They had their Ring of Honor tag team titles. They had their AAA tag team titles around their waists. One thing that was missing, they said, were the AEW tag team titles. And Renee brought that up. They are the number one contenders, apparently, for the AEW tag team titles. Dax Harwood said that they want them back. Cash Wheeler said that they've had the best year of their career. But they have yet to become two-time AEW tag team champions. And if they don't do it, then they just can't live with themselves. Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee interrupt. Or I should say Swerve interrupted. Keith Lee was standing there. After a while, he got sick and tired of hearing his partner yammer on. So he cut him off, and then he apologized. On behalf of Swerve, he apologized. But he admitted, he goes, you know what, we do deserve a rematch for those tag team titles. And Dax Harwood proposed a first-time ever match for Dynamite next week, back on Wednesday in its normal slot. FTR taking on Swerve and Our Glory. In a number one contenders match, the winning team becomes number one contender for the AEW tag team titles, and they get to challenge the Acclaim. Now, for those of you wondering, where do these guys fall in the rankings? There are no rankings anymore in AEW. AEW has evidently given up on their rankings. If you go to their website, the rankings have not been updated since August 31st. So the ranking system in AEW now, it's all just storyline on TV. It's whatever they mention. The ranking system as it was no longer exists. So I don't even know why they keep that up on the website. They should just take that whole section down if they're not going to update it. But I like the fact that FTR actually has a match announced in advance for next week. I don't know if it's going to be a one-off. I don't know if something will happen. It'll lead to a rematch. But they're actually in a program on TV. This is progress. We have not seen a lot of FTR on this show. And that's going to be a hell of a match next week. You put FTR in the ring with Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, sign me the fuck up. That's a match I'm looking forward to. We got a video package highlighting The Kingdom. Matt Taven, Mike Kanellis, Mike Bennett. He may as well take her last name. I mean, come on. Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis, they debuted in AEW. They debuted on Rampage last week. I told you, Rampage is basically, it is Ring of Honor television. Rampage has been a test case for a Ring of Honor television show. So if the executives at Warner Discovery want to know how well a ROH show would do on TNT, all they have to do is look at the numbers on Fridays. A Ring of Honor show would probably do about 400 plus thousand viewers. It would do between 400 and 500,000 viewers on a Friday night. Again, I don't know why at this point they don't just make it a Ring of Honor show. They debuted on Rampage on Friday, and boy, did that piss people off. I saw so many negative comments on social media. I didn't know that The Kingdom had this kind of heat with the IWC. Apparently, they're just vehemently hated by these people online. It makes me like them. If there's something about them that people really hate, then maybe there's something to like about these guys. What's to hate about Maria? Why are people getting on Maria's case? Don't let Carl Anderson hear this Maria slander. So they aired a video package showing their debut on Friday. We got a promo. We got comments from War Joe, Wardlow, and Samoa Joe talking about how they made the wrong decision. And at one point in his promo, Joe called Maria a cackling bird. She does. She looks like a little red bird. Rampage of Honor. There you go. See? It's all in the name. Ring of Honor Rampage. It works. Alex Marvez was in the back. He was in the parking lot area. Why was he in the parking lot area and not in the interview area? That was never explained. I don't know. They send Marvez out to the parking lot. He just kind of stands out there for the 2 hours. I feel like if two people happen to walk by, he'll pull them aside. And then he gets all excited. Oh, I got an interview now, you know, and then they cut to him. Otherwise, poor fucking guy is usually just standing in the parking lot. Maybe he does valet. You know, I don't know what else he does for this company. Maybe Alex Marvez is the valet parking guy. And he just happened to be able to grab these two for an interview. So it was Jay Lethal with Sanjay Dutt and Darby Allin. Darby's dad was not here tonight. I don't know where Steve was, but there was no Sting on this show. So Lethal said he wanted a rematch with Darby, and Darby said that he would beat him again and again and again. Sanjay said that they were in contact with somebody who knows Allen's weaknesses, and they know what that weakness is. So then they ended up beating up Darby, and they trapped him. They threw him into a garage door, that big metal garage door that we see in these backstage segments. So Darby was laid out underneath the garage door, half of his body on one side, half of his body on the other. Lethal told Sanjay to pull the door down, and they slowly pulled the door down until Darby was trapped underneath. And then Lethal walked around to the other side, and all we saw were Darby's legs, and he applied the figure four leg lock. I liked that, actually. I thought that was, it was kind of unique, trapping him under there, going around to the other side, where he couldn't move, and it was like fish in a barrel, right? And then he puts him in the figure four leg lock, and there's nowhere for Darby to go. So I thought that was kind of unique. When we're going to see this match, I have no idea. They didn't announce. And then came the segment of the night. This was not only the best thing on the entire show, this was the best thing on Dynamite in a very long time. Tony Schiavone was in the ring with William Regal. He was already there for a promo. And he asked William Regal about tonight's main event with Jon Moxley defending his championship against Hangman Adam Page. But before he could say a word, we heard the music of Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Out comes MJF. He's got a microphone in hand. And he walks down to the ring and he climbs up on the apron. Now, if you remember, in the last couple of weeks on TV, they have alluded to there being some kind of history involving MJF and William Regal. They didn't tell us what it was. Although I think at one point MJF threatened to tell the world about, you know, what Regal did to him or you know, what the nature of their relationship really is. So this was the expose. This is where it all came out. And MJF got up on the apron. He said he wasn't here to fight. And he told Regal to put the brass knucks away. And then they showed Regal had taken out a pair of brass knucks to defend himself. So then he took the knucks off and he put them away. He said he's only here to talk. He said when he was 19 years old, training at the Create a Pro Wrestler Academy. He got pulled over by his trainers, Pat Buck and Brian Myers, who told him that they got him some extra work for WWE. And they do that commonly, you know, up and down the East Coast on the independents, you know, many times when WWE comes to town, you know, the security geeks that you see on TV, they're all independent wrestlers. So to get work as an extra is a very big deal. It's your first time to get exposure on television. Now, I don't know if this is what he was talking about, but MJF did appear once on an episode of NXT. And it's part of a meme I know that's been, you know, going around for a few years now where Samoa Joe is walking down a hallway. MJF was in his, I think, his yellow security shirt almost walking in front of him. And Joe had to hold him back, kind of shoved him backwards. So there's a story one day if they want to tell there being a story between him and Samoa Joe. But it's a common thing. They've done this for years. So he was told he was going to be able to be an extra on WWE television. So he packed his best gear, packed his best suit, and he drove to the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And then he and the extras were all kind of herded together, and they were spoken to by Sir William Regal, who told them that they were all going to be going to the ring to have tryout matches tonight. MJF's match was set to go on second that night. First match gets in the ring, and all of the onlookers were there. Arn Anderson was there. Dean Malenko was there. Adam Pearce was there. And William Regal was there. So the two guys in the first match, they locked up. And almost instantly, Dean Malenko rang the bell, told him to get out of the ring. He's seen enough. He said, get out. So then it was MJF's turn. Now imagine, you just saw these two guys barely touch. And they were yelled at by Dean Malenko and told to get the hell out of the ring. And now it's your turn. So he said he's shaking like a leaf. He's nervous as all hell. This was his moment, right? I mean, he said, pro wrestling is my life. This is my make or break moment here. Says after the match, he was sweating. He was all soaked. And Regal pulled him away from the group and brought him into a room. And he told him, kid, you've got 3 minutes. And then two large Samoans attacked MJF from behind. That was a different 3 minute warning. He said, you got 3 minutes to sell yourself to me. Go. And so that's what he did. That's what MJF did. He said Regal's mouth, at the end of it, whatever he said Regal's mouth was on the floor. He couldn't believe it. He was so impressed by what he had just seen with MJF. And he said that Regal told him that he was going to get him a job, and MJF realized that this is great. He says, I'm no longer going to be a 5'9" ADD riddled Jew boy who gets mocked and poked fun of. I'm going to be a star. This is my big break. This is exactly what I've been working my entire life for. Until Regal asked him, how old are you? And MJF told him that he was 19 years old, and Regal said, oh, I'm sorry, son. You're much too young. Words that never left the mouth of Jerry Lawler a day in his life. So the crowd chanted, you fucked up at Regal at this point, which I got a laugh out of that. I'll tell you what, this story kind of resonated with me in a way. It kind of resonated with me. Because many years ago, I had to do an internship for school. And I, like MJF, I was obsessed with wrestling, right? Huge wrestling fan. This was probably around the time of the Attitude Era. Maybe just before. But it was sometime around there, late 90s. And I had to do an internship. And so, of course, the first thing I thought of was to call WWE, right? You call over to Titan Tower. And you ask them if they have any internships available. And it didn't matter to me what I would be doing. I just thought, man, this would be great. What a great opportunity, right? And I got a very similar answer. The lady I spoke to on the phone was very nice, but I got a similar answer. I was 1 year younger than the age I needed to be for them to hire me, but to bring me on as an intern. I was off by 1 year. I was so pissed. I was so pissed. I was like, 1 year? You're going to screw me over for 1 year? So it kind of resonated with me. But then Regal told him, he said, kid, I don't like to put my name on too many people, but when I do, those people get jobs here. And he named three men. He said, Claudio Castagnoli, Brian Danielson, and John Moxley. And when you finally come of age, I will personally put my name on you. But until then, I want you to go home. I want you to work your ass off. And every month, I want you to send me a match and a promo. And so he went home and he busted his ass. And Regal responded in month one. And he said, thank you very much. I look forward to reviewing your progress. He sent him again, month number two. Thank you very much. I look forward to reviewing your progress. And then came month number three. We get to month three, and Regal sends him a promo that MJF says he still has saved on his phone to this day. Regal sent him a promo that he has read every day since. Not only does he have it on his phone, but he has read it every day of his life since then. And then he read the email to us, and the email read as follows. It says, Max, I'm a very, very busy man. I've got talent from all over the world to watch, and I've just had to sit for a minute watching you, quote, show me your acting skills, unquote. Do not reply to this, but how would this make me say, oh, I know, let's hire Max. It says, make a name for yourself in the wrestling world and you'll get noticed. That means being a high-level performer. When you do, trust me, I'll know. Unfortunately, for you, the game has changed. WWE hires only the best talent in the world. I don't know if the implication there is that WWE did not hire the best talent in the world before. Maybe WWE only hired the most marginal talent in the world. I assume the WWE always aspired to hire the best talent in the world. But apparently the game changed at that point. He says, when you're one of them, you may send me your stuff. Yours sincerely, William Regal. And MJF got, he was getting very emotional at this point. And he told Regal, he said, that's the email that you sent to a 19-year-old kid, a child with a dream, and you squandered it. And he got real emotional at this point and told Regal to look at him, called him a son of a bitch. He goes, this is real life. He says, when I read that email, I wanted to quit pro wrestling. And he says, I wanted to quit my life. He said, that email that you sent me made me want to kill myself. But then he realized that if he did that, he and all the naysayers would have won, and he couldn't let that happen. And here we are in 2022, and he called Regal nothing more than a sad, withered old man who got fired. Now he has snuck into his company like a flea-ridden rat by sticking to talents far better than he ever was. And he's MJF, the 26-year-old kid who's on top of this business. He's a generational talent. And he's also the man who his former employer, Regal's former employer, now would be willing to take several human lives to get to put him on paper under contract as part of their own company. And he referenced the bidding war of 2024, which is something he always mentions in his promos, and I'm sure will continue to mention until we get to the year 2024, when he very likely resigns with AEW. Although never say never. He said he reads that email every single day whenever he needs a good hearty laugh, because that's what Regal has become to him, nothing but a joke. And he is about to become the AEW champion of the world, because he's Maxwell Jacob Friedman, and I'm better than you, and you know it. And at that point, the entire arena in Cincinnati, the hometown of Jon Moxley, this man is going to challenge Moxley at Full Gear, even before they announce the match at the end of the night. The people in that building knew full well that this guy here is going to be challenging their hometown boy for the AEW World Championship very soon. And by the end of this promo, he had every single person in that building in Cincinnati standing up and applauding and chanting his name. Then it was William Regal's turn, right? MJF just blew it out of the water. Now William Regal gets to take center stage. Now it's his turn to respond. And he says, job done. He looks at MJF and goes, job done. And the place boos. For the first time since he showed up earlier this year in this company, William Regal came out and he got booed. Jon Moxley's guy, his manager, got booed. Says, you mentioned being 19 and being a child. He said, at 16, I left home and I went to go work on a carnival and I had to fight grown men to get into this industry. Said he wasn't trying to cast him aside. He saw somebody who was going to be a big star. He wanted to light a fire under his backside, because we live in an age when you can't have grown men smashing in faces when they're 16 years old. He said, and when you're 17 and crying every single night with blood running out of every hole in your body and you want to quit and you won't let yourself, because at 17, he said, no, I will not quit. Because I'm going to be a professional wrestler. And if a bloody email is what it took for you to get to this place, you've had it easy, sunshine. He says, because you've mastered something that you seem to forget, you need to practice. Over and over and over again, he says, I watched you against Wheeler Yuta the other week, and I saw how talented you were. Before you were born, I was insulting Mr. Schiavone. Before he was even born, he was knocking Tony Schiavone on TV. But he said, I would never put my hands on him. I would mock him, I would make fun of him, but at no point in my time in WCW did I put my hands on Tony Schiavone, called him Mr. Schiavone, because he's a gentleman. He says, I'm what they call an ODV. I thought he said ODB at first. I fucking laughed. Just trying to picture William Regal as ODB. But he says, I'm what they call an ODV, an ordinary decent villain. Anyone who steps between these ropes is fair game, but you never put your hands on someone like Mr. Schiavone. He goes, the only problem is you've let me down. He says, you've taken shortcuts. Just because you're making lots of money, that doesn't prove anything to me. He says, you wear a ring to knock people out. When I used these knucks, it was because I just liked hitting people with them. He said, Max, don't take any shortcuts. You want to be a real bad guy? You want to be the devil? He says, beat everybody who stands in front of you. I don't care what liberties you take. Just get to that place. He says, but if you want to be the devil, show the world right now, or are you just going to take another shortcut so you can act like a victim and whine and cry? And at that point, he turned his back to MJF. He put his arms out. He was giving his body to MJF. He was going to let MJF beat the hell out of him. And MJF just stood there, and you could tell he was dying to do it, but he couldn't bring himself to. He held back. Regal turned around, and he told him, he goes, you still have a lot to prove. And with that, Regal threw down the mic and he left the ring. This is my new favorite in-ring segment, promo segment in AEW history. And I do believe what we had tonight with these two, these two are masters at this. Regal has been a master at this for a long time, but Regal is in his 50s now. This kid is 26 years old. So when he calls himself a generational talent, I mean, it makes for a nice catchphrase, but it's the fucking truth. You don't have very many people in the wrestling business who can do what he's doing. He can wrestle. MJF can work. I still don't think he gets enough credit, frankly, for the work that he puts in the ring. I think people just think, oh, he's a good promo and he's an okay wrestler. You know, people say the same thing about LA Knight, right? A lot of charisma, great promo, okay in the ring. MJF is more than okay in the ring. He can carry his own. But you can count on probably one hand the number of television matches that he has had in the last 9 months. We don't see him in the ring very often on TV. I actually think it keeps him kind of more special that way. But what these two went in there and did is what these two are known for. We know Regal could talk. We know MJF could talk. They went out there. And again, I don't know how much of what he said is true or how much of it was embellished, if there is an email that he keeps on his phone or a voicemail or whatever it may be. But I love that they found a way to take that experience that he supposedly had and weave it into his current storyline and add a new layer to the MJF character. And I am as sick as anybody of hearing the constant references on AEW television to WWE, but I'll make an exception for this because this was so fucking good. And I'm making an exception for this because if this actually happened in the way that he explained, I just love how it explains so much about the MJF character. It goes right to the heart of the character that we see on TV. And I'm also reminded of Chris Jericho back at the Brawl Out media scrum when he was sitting there next to Tony Khan and he was asked a question. And Jericho said, he said it at the media scrum back in September. He said he's had conversations with you know, MJF about how you're going to be a great babyface. And MJF was so afraid. I don't want to be a babyface. I don't know how. And Jericho said, I'll teach you how. It's the easiest thing. He goes, whether you like it or not, you are going to be one of the biggest babyfaces in this company, if not the biggest babyface in this company. And he's right. And tonight was an example of why. What we got tonight was a terrific babyface promo from MJF. This was a babyface promo. There really was nothing heelish about it. And so I loved that aspect of it. But the thing that I really like the most about it is the fact that I look at this and I see a promo explaining his eventual babyface turn by telling us all of the events that led to him being a heel in the first place. That's the best way I can explain it. You think of like a villain origin story, right? In a lot of ways, that's what this was. This was like a villain origin story for MJF. Why is he the way that he is? Well, this sheds a lot of light on why that is. This experience that he had in WWE and this experience that he had with William Regal explains a lot about why he is the way he is. And ultimately, he's going to go on to become the biggest babyface that this company has ever seen. I mean, I've thought that for a long time, just a matter of when. I'm not ready, frankly, to see MJF go full on babyface. I don't want to see him go full on babyface. I'd rather him be maybe more of a tweener. But this was just a terrific fucking promo. This right here is a promo segment I think that you're going to be able to show people in the future. Other young stars in the company, this is how it's done. It had a level of realism and emotion and passion to it that is very rare these days in wrestling promos. MJF has found a way, and he does this in a lot of his promos, to kind of master that and weave real emotion in there. And it's just very, it's very gripping to watch as far as just being an entertaining television segment. So I loved every aspect of this. I thought this was tremendous. And I don't know when the babyface turn is coming, but it could be a ways off. But he demonstrated tonight why he is going to be the biggest fucking babyface in the history of AEW. And why WWE is going to throw gobs of money at him in 2024 when the time comes. He is going to make so much fucking money, whether it's with Tony Khan or Triple H, that he won't have to work another day for the rest of his life. That's how much money this kid's going to make. And by 2024, he still won't even be 30 years old. It's crazy to think about. This was the best thing on the entire show. Renee was backstage with the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn, who said that this Friday on Rampage, it's going to be title against trademark. It's going to be the Acclaimed taking on Tony Nese and Josh Woods. I'll be sure to watch that. Hey, you know why I'm not reviewing Rampage much anymore? Yeah, where is Miro? I've gotten a couple of questions about Miro. I don't know where Miro is. I don't think he's hurt. We need Miro back on TV. I don't know where he is. But he must be collecting a paycheck. Hey, it's not bad work. If you can get it, you get to get paid. You don't have to come to work and work matches. Seems like a pretty sweet gig to me. Anyway, we're going to get the Acclaimed against Nese and Woods on Friday. If the Acclaimed win, they get to use their scissoring trademark catchphrase. They get to scissor each other. They can't scissor each other until they get the trademark back. That's how copyright and patent law works, or trademark law works here in the United States. You cannot scissor the other person until you get that trademark back. Until then, there's no scissoring allowed. After the break, Renee sat down earlier in the day. We got a pre-tape video. She sat down with Bryan Danielson and Wheeler Yuta. Bryan Danielson has not felt this insignificant, I think, in a decade. I don't know what's going on with him. But you know what? He's the one who said many years ago that he took that test. And it was in WWE, and he rated the lowest that anybody has ever rated before for ambition, right? He had, like, no ambition. So I don't think he cares. I think he just kind of, he enjoys working with younger talents and just whoever they put in front of him. And I'm going to lose tonight? Okay, sure. You know, like he doesn't care. He just likes to go out there and wrestle. I think that's noble. But I also think you want to protect your equity. You're a big star. I think he loses far, far more than he should. But it just feels like he's not doing anything. You know, it's very weird how insignificant he feels on this show. You know, he signed and it was such a big deal when he came into this company. And, you know, here we are now 13 months later and it almost feels like he's just kind of a mid-carder on the show. He's not, but that's just kind of how it feels to me. But it was him and Wheeler Yuta sitting down, both members of the Blackpool Combat Club. He said, you know, it wasn't fun to lose to Chris Jericho last week. Renee asked him about Daniel Garcia. He said, he has a lot of high hopes for Daniel. He's seen him do some incredible things at such a young age, and under the right guidance, he could be the best wrestler that we've ever seen. So this bothered Wheeler Yuta. He asked Brian if he's been paying attention. How could you not see what happened last week coming? Anybody could see it. He calls himself the Dragon Slayer, all of these different things. So he was upset that Danielson did not see Garcia turning on him coming in advance. He thought that when he bled for the Blackpool Combat Club that it meant something. He says it does mean something to Jon Moxley. He knows that. But maybe he shouldn't have met his hero because it clearly didn't mean anything to Danielson. And he stormed off at that point. He threw a fit like a child, which is what he is. Yuta is still a young guy. He's still a child. and he walked off. And we found out a little bit later on that Danielson's going to be going one-on-one with Sammy Guevara on Dynamite next week. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp Therapy Online. We just celebrated World Mental Health Day last week. It's nice to have a day to bring attention to the importance of mental health, but people should be looking out for their health every day. It's easy to forget with everything people have going on in their lives, with work and school and kids, sports. A lot of big sports games taking place this time of year. I think I'm losing my mind sometimes when I have to cover all this stuff, but I have to stop and remind myself to slow down and take a breath. One way to make sure you stay in peak mental shape is through therapy. More specifically, BetterHelp Online Therapy. I've used BetterHelp before. I have found it to be helpful. It turned out to be more helpful than I expected going in. I don't know what I was expecting, but the word help is right there in the name, so I guess I should have expected it. I found it to be great for stress relief also. So if that's something you're living with, if you're looking to unload stress or anxiety, connecting with one of their therapists could do you a world of good. If you've been thinking about it, you know, you're on the fence, should I give it a try, should I not? There's no better time like the present time. It's convenient, it's affordable, and it's entirely online. You can get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey, and you can switch therapists at any time for any reason. Another advantage of this being all online, you don't have to feel awkward. You don't have to feel awkward about things if you need to make a change, because it's all online, and you never have to go face-to-face on camera if you don't want to. When you're ready to feel at the top of your mental health game, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Solomonster. Next up was the Ring of Honor World Championship. Dalton Castle with the boys challenging Chris Jericho for the title. This is part of Jericho's crusade, his continued crusade to disgrace all things Ring of Honor and desecrate the Ring of Honor World Championship. He's going to get in the ring and beat all of these former Ring of Honor World Champions. You know, I just realized, based on what we saw tonight, and there's one of our new Super Chats, by the way, there's Bret Hart, who I saw did a signing. He did a signing recently and was commenting. I guess he was asked a question. I didn't see the video, but he did a signing and was asked about who he would have loved to have worked with. And we've heard, of course, Bret, you know, he's mentioned Rey Mysterio in the past. In fact, he made the comment. He said there's never been a better masked wrestler in the history of the wrestling business than Rey Mysterio Jr. Just high praise coming from Bret Hart. But he name dropped Kurt Angle and he said Brock Lesnar. He would have loved to have worked with Brock Lesnar. From everything that he's ever heard about the guy, he's a total pro. Unlike Bill Goldberg. He had to slip that mention in there. Goldberg never even was brought up, but he had to slip that mention in there. I think it's fucking hilarious at this point. You could ask Bret about any subject. It doesn't even have to do with wrestling, and I guarantee you he will find a way to bring it back to Bill Goldberg. You could have Bret Hart walk into a Home Depot, and he's looking for some hardware. He's going to do some kind of DIY home building project, or he's going to fix a window or something. And he's in there and he's looking for certain materials and he's talking to the guy and the guy says, yeah, I'm sorry, we're out of that. We don't have that, whatever. Let's say he's painting, all right? It's easier. We don't have that color paint. And Bret just goes, man, you know, you disappointed me. You disappointed me kind of like Bill Goldberg did when he kicked my head in. And he bashed my brains in and he ended my career. And the guy just kind of looks at him and goes, what the fuck are you talking about? Literally any situation he can bring up Bill Goldberg. And I know it annoys Goldberg, which is why it tickles me to death, because this comes up every few weeks and Goldberg gets asked about it. He goes, I'm sick and tired of apologizing for it. I'm tired of it. I'm not going to apologize anymore. I think it's fucking hilarious. I think Bret has earned the right to vent on Goldberg as many times as he wants to. Bret at Home Depot looking for jackhammers. I missed it. How did I miss that? That was an easy layup. That was an easy layup. I'm just checking the news again just to see if there's any update on Hangman here. Nothing yet, but I will keep checking. If we have any updates, I'll bring it to you live. So anyway, we have Jericho in the ring with Dalton Castle. Jericho offers a handshake to Castle. Castle reaches into his trunks. He looks like he's playing with his junk. He pulls his fist out and he puts the middle finger up and flips off Jericho. So they spill out to the floor, and all of a sudden Castle is out there. He's dancing around with the boys, right? He's dancing around with the boy. He got the boys outside with him. He's dancing around. Castle lands a couple of gut-wrench suplexes, and then he makes use of the boys by tossing them out of the ring like javelins out onto Jake Hager, who is standing outside the ring with that stupid purple bucket hat, and he is throwing the boys out of the ring onto them. So Castle charges at Jericho. He gets dumped out to the floor, though. Jericho attempted a springboard dropkick. Castle intercepted him and hit a kick to the gut. On the floor, Hager charged at Castle, but he ducked. And the boys then jumped Hager. They stole the stupid purple bucket hat. And Hager wigged out over this. This is his new gimmick now. He loves his hat. What is he, fucking 5 years old? He loves his hat. You steal his hat away from him, it's like he turns into, he's like Bruce Banner turning into the Incredible Hulk. So he snaps and he starts beating up the boys. And then he grabs his hat and he puts the hat back on his head. And he looks dead in the camera and he says, I love this hat. Or whatever, I like this hat. He's the only fucking one. He loves his purple bucket hat. Should put a fucking bucket over his head. So Jericho applied the Walls of Jericho. Castle got to the ropes for the break. Jericho sold it like he won. He thought he won the match. And he was arguing with Aubrey Edwards, and then he gave her a little chest bump. You know, if he pulled that in Major League Baseball, he would have been ejected. Aubrey pushed back. Jericho backed away. Jericho went for a lion salt. Castle caught him up against the ropes, though, and landed a German suplex for a near fall. Then came the bangarang for another close near fall. Jericho got back to his feet. They were trading strikes. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, he delivers the Judas effect. Made a great sound, too. Sometimes he'll hit the Judas effect, and it barely grazes the person. This made a great sound effect. And he knocked out Castle with it and pinned him to retain the championship. Yeah, Dalton Castle kind of makes me sad because he was so over. The whole act with him and the boys all those years ago when he first won the Ring of Honor World title. And he was so over. And the thing is, he's still over now. You saw it in this match. Dalton Castle is still very entertaining. And he's very much over with the audience. But you can see when he wrestles, he still has kind of like it's like a back brace that's around his waist. And that's the injury that really destroyed his career. I mean, he wrecked his back. He became the world champion. He did not get the proper run that he deserved as the champion because his back was just completely thrashed. And I don't know that he ever really recovered from that. I think, you know, he still, again, he wears the, I don't know what that, girder or whatever the fuck that is. I don't know exactly what condition his back is in these days, but you know, he's not the same performer he was pre-back injury, and it sucks because, you know, you work your whole career, and you get yourself over, and you get to that championship match, and they make you the world champion. This is going to be your big run, but you're so just completely just beat up that you can't really have the kind of run that you always dreamed of having. And again, he was never the same after that. So nobody would love to see him get another shot more than I would. And there was no drama here. Nobody expected him to win this match. But he has been very entertaining in the appearances that he's made. And I would love for him to, you know, on the new Ring of Honor TV show, whenever that exists, get built back up again, you know, and maybe get another run at some point as the Ring of Honor World Champion. So after the match, Jericho joined the rest of the JAS on the ramp. And he got a mic and he said that he wasn't done ruining the legacy of Ring of Honor. He said that he was destroying champions, he was destroying ring announcers, and he was destroying commentators. And with that, Matt Menard and Angelo Parker ran over to the announce desk. They grabbed Ian Riccaboni, who was out there doing commentary for the ROH match. They dragged Riccaboni onto the stage. They put him down on his knees. Jericho was getting ready to hit him with the Ring of Honor world title. Out comes Jerry Lynn, who works for AEW as an agent behind the scenes. Jerry Lynn, himself, a former Ring of Honor World Champion. I want to say back maybe 2009-ish, I believe, he had the ROH World title. So he comes out to make the save, and this ended with Jericho kicking him in the gut and giving him a pile drive, very safe pile driver. Thankfully, at the last moment, because it was very clear, you know, his head was going to be a few inches up off the floor, they had enough sense to cut to a camera angle behind Jericho, which is the camera angle I wish they would have used for the Undertaker Jake Roberts finish at WrestleMania 8, but that's a whole other story. But he gave him a pile driver. And Jerry Lynn has been retired for many years, but looks like we're going to be getting a Chris Jericho-Jerry Lynn match on TV very soon. So I don't know what Jerry Lynn is going to look like in the ring in 2022, but back in the day, Jerry Lynn was fucking awesome. Jerry Lynn had a whole series of classic matches with Rob Van Dam. I'm sure a lot of old ECW fans remember that, but shit, I mean, that was over 20 years ago. I don't know what Jerry Lynn would look like in the ring. I know Ricky Steamboat came back with Chris Jericho many years ago when Steamboat was in his 50s, and he looked fucking great. So if Ricky Steamboat can do it, then Jerry Lynn can do it too. Backstage, Jade Cargill demanded that Kiera Hogan and Layla Gray tell her where her TBS title is. Nyla Rose stole the TBS title from her a few weeks ago, and Nyla has been walking around with it. And Jade was back this week, and she wanted to know where her belt was, and they didn't know where it was. They said Nyla isn't here, but she will be at Rampage. And Jade looked dead in the camera, and she told Tony Khan that she is going to hijack his show for 60 minutes if she has to on Friday, if Nyla does not give her TBS title back to her. Shout out to Rizzo, who just gifted one channel membership. He gifted a membership to Liu Kang 02. That's very kind of Rizzo to do that. So, Liu Kang, you are now a new channel member. Rizzo, thank you, Barry. See, Rizzo's one of the good ones. Rizzo's a good dude. That brought us to our main event. For the Ring of Honor. This is how many Ring of Honor fucking matches we have. I think this was a Ring of Honor title match too. Every title is Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor world title. Ring of Honor television title. Ring of Honor pure title. Ring of Honor tag team titles. Too much Ring of Honor on the brain. Main event was Jon Moxley defending his AEW World Championship in his hometown of Cincinnati against the former champion Hangman Adam Page. Moxley was doing his entrance to Wild Thing through the crowd. Hangman was already in the ring. Hangman did not want to wait. So Hangman did what I think more people should do. He went into the crowd to go chase down Moxley because his entrance takes too fucking long. So they ended up meeting in the crowd. That's where this whole fight began. And it ended with Hangman wiping out Moxley with an Orihara moonsault off of a balcony. And I want to use that as an example, you know, for what happened later when I said earlier that things happen in wrestling. You can get hurt on the simplest of moves, right? Hangman got very seriously injured, it looks like, on a clothesline. Now, it was a stiff-looking clothesline, but he got hurt on a clothesline. In the same match, Hangman did an Orihara moonsault from the fucking balcony, and he was fine. That just goes to show you in wrestling, like, you can't predict these things. You can do all of these death-defying high-risk moves, and then you can pop your Achilles on a fucking leapfrog. That's how Xavier Woods hurt his Achilles. That's how Edge many years ago, on a leapfrog at a live event, tore his Achilles and missed 7 or 8 months. But this guy's out here doing moonsaults off balconies, and he comes up and he's fine. Wrestling is a very crazy thing. So they showed MJF. He had his poker chip. He was up sitting in the skybox, as he's been doing in recent weeks. So that's going to become important here in a second. He was watching the match very closely. They go to a break. They come back. And I didn't see how it happened. But, I mean, can you be shocked? They were in Jon Moxley's hometown. You had to know that Jon Moxley was going to bleed here in Cincinnati. He's been pretty good about it in recent weeks. I feel like he hasn't bled in a few weeks. Tonight, there was blood. I didn't see how it happened. It happened during the break. We come back. His whole forehead is all cut up and busted open. So we got blood from the champion here in this match. They took it back inside. Moxley got a figure four leg lock applied. Page got out of it. They traded strikes. That only fired up Moxley. But Page took him down with a hard Irish whip into the opposite corner. Page hit a fallaway slam, and then he kipped up. But as soon as he kipped up, Moxley sprang up to his feet, and he hit a cutter out of nowhere. He hit an RKO out of nowhere. Talk about back injuries. Poor Randy Orton, his career could be over. That's how bad his back injury is, apparently. You know, we can talk about Dalton Castle. Look, back injuries are nothing to play around with. And that's going to be very interesting, because I'm sure we have not seen the last of Randy Orton in the ring. But Randy Orton, when he's out there, all people want to see are the RKO. And if you have a bad back, the RKO is the worst fucking move that you could be doing. So that's going to be very interesting to see, you know, how long is Randy Orton still going to be out for? And when he comes back, you know, is he even going to be able to hit the RKO as often? Probably not. You know, he's probably going to have to pick his spots. It sounds like that back injury is pretty bad. And I don't know that he's had surgery for it yet. But he hit a cutter out of nowhere. We got loud chants of Moxley, not surprising given that they were in his hometown. Moxley hit a superplex. Hangman came back with a dead eye out on the apron. They cut back to the skybox to show MJF, only there was no MJF. The skybox was empty. We don't know where he went. So we had a little bit of intrigue there heading into the final commercial break. They come back. Both men were on the top rope. Hangman delivered an avalanche fallaway slam. Again, this guy, he was hitting big moves here in this match, and he was coming up fine. Right? You do an avalanche fallaway slam, you're both taking a big bump off the top rope. Moxley came back. He turned the challenger inside out with a King Kong lariat, and this is where the injury happened. Hit him with the King Kong lariat. It looked like Hangman was trying to do that inside-out bump that you take off a big clothesline. Didn't quite get the full rotation, so the landing was very awkward. He didn't land on his back. He landed almost on his shoulder, kind of his shoulder and his neck. But he landed face-first on the mat, and he kind of stiffened out, and he wasn't moving. He was face down, and he wasn't moving. Referee Paul Turner was immediately concerned. He got down to Hangman. He was trying to communicate with him and find out how he was. And I don't know if Hangman either didn't respond or he just flat out told him that I'm hurt. Or, you know, maybe he did his best British Bulldog impression and said, I'm fooked. Whatever it was enough for the doctor to come over to check on him. And I wasn't sure at first if this was, again, you know, something where it's part of the match. It's just part of an angle. It's going to lead to the finish. When they rang the bell for the ref stoppage, as much as they have built this match up over the last few weeks, there's no way that they were going to end this match with a ref stoppage like this. That's how I knew, oh shit, this is bad. You could do a ref stoppage in a match, but not like this. Not in a big match like this in the way that they did this. So it was very clear that something was wrong. Moxley had a look on his face. He was looking back and like he had a look on his face. You could tell that something was definitely wrong here. William Regal, who was on commentary, walked down to the ring. Moxley, now with presence of mind, is trying to sell it. He's got a smile on his face. He's reaching over the ropes to give Regal a high five, you know, whatever. You know, he's just announced as the winner. He retains his world championship. He's celebrating his win. And they immediately cut back to the announcers. They're not showing Hangman. Another telltale sign. This is not an angle. They could have shown on television him being tended to, him being carried out. They didn't show any of it. They made great pains to keep the camera off of him. They went back to the announcers. And now the announcers have to figure out what to do. I'm sure they're getting, you know, cues in their ear about what to talk about and you know, where they're going to go next. Because you got 8 minutes left in the show. It's not like they're 3 or 4 minutes out from going off the air. They have an entire segment left to fill. You're on live. So Taz clearly was shaken up by this. Taz was pointing out that they brought out a gurney for Hangman, which they didn't show. Instead, they ran down all the matches again. Another telltale sign this was not planned, because they already ran down the matches for Rampage and Dynamite. We got the whole thing from Excalibur already, where he did the fucking Micro Machines guy voice, and you couldn't understand a word he was saying because he talked too fucking fast. Now they replayed all the matches again. Here's what you're going to see on Friday. Here's what you're going to see next Wednesday. They were stalling. They were trying to figure out where to go to next. They knew that the end of the show was going to be MJF coming out and making the challenge for Full Gear, but they still had time before the announcement. And by the way, next Wednesday, it's going to be Jericho and Daniel Garcia taking on Claudio and Wheeler Yuta. It's going to be Brian Danielson against Sammy Guevara, FTR against Swerve and Our Glory, and Riho takes on Jamie Hayter. So they ran down that whole card. At that point, we could hear the fans in the background chanting for Hangman. They were trying to root him on. They were chanting cowboy shit. They did not show him being strapped to the gurney. I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the stream, they loosened the bottom rope to safely get him out of the ring. It doesn't mean that they know it's a neck injury. It's just standard protocol. If it could be a neck injury, I mean, when you're dealing with the neck and the nerves and all that, you got to be very careful. So it doesn't mean that he has a broken neck. It just means that they wanted to make sure whatever it is, they didn't make it any worse. Taz, back at the announce desk, took his shades off and just had a look on his face. You know, he's dealt with a very serious neck injury in his own career. He had his neck broken back when he was in ECW. So he was a good person to have on commentary talking about what it's like to suffer a bad neck injury, if that's what this was. Moxley then takes the microphone. His mic isn't working at first. And then, you know, I saw people on my timeline. Why was the audio all fucked up? It wasn't that the audio was fucked up. It was that they kept bleeping out the cuss words, because now it's very clear that, you know, TNT and TBS, they don't want as much cursing on the show. You know, they'll let the word shit slip out and stuff like that, but they have been editing some of the profanity more recently. So every time they would say a bad word or a naughty word they didn't like, they would play this awful kind of, they would dub over the audio. I'm not sure what's worse. I'm not sure if it's worse doing that or if it's worse doing what USA has been doing on the WWE shows, where they'll bleep the individual words. Instead of just having like a 10-second straight bleeping of whatever's being said, it's like they mute and then they unmute, and then they mute and then they unmute. I think that's worse. I actually think that's worse. So Moxley got on the mic. He has to cut a promo now. We have time to kill. He says that he hopes and he prays that Hangman recovers to 100% and can perform again, and that he can play with his little baby again. But he said this is a dangerous game that they play. And he brought up what MJF said earlier tonight. He said MJF had a lot to say. And since the Yankees did not go into extra innings, they didn't need extra innings tonight to beat the Guardians. They don't have a lot of time, actually, to fly out. They're going to be facing the Astros tomorrow night. But since the Yankees did not go into extra innings, he said, why don't you get your ass out here? So MJF came out with the poker chip, and he had a referee, like he was cashing in his money in the bank. And he stormed down to the ring, and he got into the ring, and he put the poker chip down in the corner, and he's still in his dress clothes. So he's unbuttoning his dress shirt, and it looks like we're going to have an impromptu title match here in Cincinnati. Then he thinks better of it, and he leaves the ring. He hands the poker chip to William Regal. He sprints up the ramp over to the announce desk. On top of the announce desk is a microphone. So he ran up there to grab a mic, and then he comes back kind of halfway down the ramp. And he says that he's going to cash that chip in. But when he cashes that chip in, he wants John Moxley to be 110%. He does not want him to be exhausted because he just wrestled a match. He doesn't want him to be hurt. He doesn't want any excuses out of John Moxley when he beats him to become the AEW World Champion. He wants to beat him fair and square in the middle of the ring. He says he's cashing in his chip at Full Gear, which is their next pay-per-view, because for the first time in his miserable life, he's going to earn it. And I thought to myself, spoken like a true babyface. That makes two babyface promos that he cut on this show. Tell me that's not a babyface. I want you to be in perfect health so I can beat you fair and square, so I can prove that I earned it. If that isn't a babyface promo, then I don't know what is. Moxley took the mic because they still had time left. And Moxley said, "You're going to earn the heel of my boot in your mouth. You're going to earn my fist going directly up your ass," which is not a visual that I needed. He goes, "Your throat and your larynx getting squeezed until your head pops off like a Pez dispenser. We're going to find out exactly what you're made of, and they're going to show the whole world that they're getting in the ring with him, that getting in the ring with him is dangerous as all hell." And then finally, they promoted the shows for next week, and they went off the air. They did the best they could. They had a scramble. It's live TV. Nobody expected the injury to happen. It's a tough situation to be in. I thought they did the best they could. They had a few minutes. I mean, ultimately, I'm sure the planned ending of the show was Moxley winning, MJF, who disappeared from the skybox in the middle of the match. So you knew he was going to come out at the end of the show. MJF coming out was not ad-libbed. MJF coming out at the end of the show was 100% planned. But it was getting there that, unfortunately, you know, they struggled with. But none of that matters. It's not important. I mean, it's all, you know, it's all nonsense. The only thing that matters is waiting to find out what the diagnosis is as far as Hangman Page is concerned. I am checking again right now just to see if there is anything new. You know, as secretive as Tony Khan and AEW have been about a lot of things, I don't know how much information they'll release. So here's an update. We have an update here from Mike Johnson at PWInsider.com. Actually, we have a couple of different updates. We'll start with Mike Johnson, who said, "For those who have asked, the Adam Page KO finish in the main event was a legitimate medical issue. One source believes that he may have suffered a concussion, but we do not have that 100% confirmed. He was stretchered out of the ring after officials loosened the ring ropes, and he was checked out backstage by their medical staff." Then there's an update from a few minutes later. "We are told that Page left the venue to get examined at a local hospital. There is still no official word as of this writing." The update from Sean Ross Sapp from 60 seconds ago. So this is the latest update here. Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com. "AEW sources indicated that Hangman Page was taken to a local hospital to be checked out. The end of Dynamite was said to be improvised, as you can imagine." So the update is that there is not much of an update. It's pretty much exactly what I just told you. It's a legitimate injury. They had a scramble. It's unfortunate that the end of the match got fucked up, but it's just a fucking match. Obviously, his health is the most important thing. Yeah, you know, it's funny for me to sit here and think, oh, I hope it's only a concussion. Concussions are pretty fucking awful. So I don't hope it's a concussion, but I also don't want the guy to have a broken neck. So it doesn't look like he does. Hopefully everything will be okay. And a scary ending to the show. But again, we now have our main event set for Full Gear in November. It will be MJF challenging Jon Moxley. And look, we still have, you know, today is November or October 18th, so we have about 4 weeks. We have about a month before the next pay-per-view. As great as this promo segment was tonight with MJF and William Regal, you know we're getting at least one in-ring promo segment between now and Full Gear with Moxley and MJF. We got one after All Out when Punk was gone and Omega was gone and the Bucks were gone. We ended up in the first segment of the next show with Jon Moxley and MJF. And they had a hell of a segment that night. Imagine the kind of segment they'll have maybe on the go-home show to really sell that pay-per-view main event. That is something I'm very much looking forward to. Can MJF top what he did tonight? It's going to be very hard. Because that segment tonight with Regal was a masterclass. And it is something that if you did not see the show tonight, if you do nothing else, go out of your way to watch that promo with those two. And if that doesn't tell you the kind of babyface that MJF is going to be one day in this company, then I don't know what to tell you. The guy is going to be an absolute monster. He's going to make this company a lot of money. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. Here's the Dynamite poll. 72%, in spite of the injury, 72% thumbs up, 16% thumbs in the middle, and about 11% thumbs down. I believe that's the best Dynamite score in many weeks. And again, the ending of the main event kind of cast a dark cloud over things, but we had some really good matches on the show tonight. You take that coupled with the MJF segment, I don't see how you can give this anything but a thumbs up. For that segment alone, this was a thumbs up show. You don't get segments like that on television every week. So that was definitely something that will be talked about for some time. All right, let's get to your super chats here. Again, I want to thank you for choosing me for your Dynamite coverage here tonight. I hope that you guys are having a good one. I guess, well, if you're a Yankee fan, you're probably in a really good mood. Maybe not if you're a Cleveland fan. If you're a Cleveland fan, you're probably not having a very good night. I know that feeling. You have my sympathies. Tuxedo T Servo, he's been a channel member for 14 months. It's going to be his birthday in about an hour. 51. Wow, 51 years old? Well, hey, 51 years young, brother. That's what I say. Tuxedo T Servo, thank you for being a channel member. 51 years young. Let's see those birthday emojis for Tuxedo in the chat. We got the Yatagaratsu here with the $10 super chat. Says, Yo Solomonster, between the MJF Regal promo and overall package, this is my favorite Dynamite this year. Playing Ace Attorney Chronicles with the wife, hope to be back in time for Be the Booker. Well, yeah, I mean, if we hit our goal tonight, we will be doing Be the Booker. I actually have not checked. But wherever we are, do hit that like button if you have not already done so. Google Chrome user with a virus, 2022. So he does indeed have a virus. Well, that's terrible. Now, hear me out. Logan dethroned Roman. And then at Mania, we get Logan Paul against Sami Zayn, full circle from the conspiracy storyline. I think I liked you better when you were back on Internet Explorer. Justin Jack, thoughts and prayers for the Hangman. Dakota says, just saw that lariat spot. That was hard to watch. Yeah, it was a rough bump. It was definitely a rough bump. Flamethrower, what's going on, brother? Thank you for the five. Most importantly, I hope Adam Page is okay. However, that MJF Regal promo was gold. That is what you call a money promo. That's what that was. Bernard Frederick with the $5 super chat. MJF and William Regal promo had PHS, passion, heart, and a great story. Marquand, 1976. Hey, Solomonster, buy or sell on the better Warrior Rude match in 1989, WrestleMania or SummerSlam? Get well soon, Hangman. SummerSlam, by far. Their SummerSlam match in 89 is one of my favorite matches. Shinakuma says, I love supporting this channel, and I love you for it. Thank you, Shin. I do what I do. I do the best I can. Your support just tells me that I must be doing something right. Ethan with the five. Ethan, I like it. I like it. Zizu, channel member for 6 months. Glad to support you. Thankful for all that you do. Hope you're having a good night. I am. I'm sad that Hangman got hurt. That sucks. I don't like seeing people get hurt. But I am having a good night. It's been a long day. I don't even want to get into everything that went down today with me, but it's been a long day, so at least I can unwind with all you guys. But anyway, Ethan says, I've been listening to you since Podbean. The Podbean days. Love to see the growth. Thank you for everything, Solomonster. Nothing but love. Ethan, thank you very much. We were on Podbean for a very long time. Now we're on Spreaker, where you can find all the audio shows. But we're on all the usual platforms that we've always been on. It's just the host, right? That's all it is. It's just the host. William Rabb with $2. Theory cashing in on Braun can solve some problems. Yeah, Theory wasn't there this week, right? Tommaso Ciampa's been missing from TV. Kevin Owens was on NXT tonight, but he hasn't been on Raw in like 3 weeks. I don't know what's going on. Maybe they're cycling people out. Meaty Sentai, Riho fans should be called the Rihos. You said it, not me. Winston Smith, A Bug's Life, 1998, is an underrated movie. I still have not seen it. Bob the Builder, What the Hell Happened to Miro? Does Tony Khan hate him? If Tony Khan hated Miro, he wouldn't be paying him all that money. So no, I don't think Tony Khan hates Miro. And Bob the Builder says, do you think Jericho against Garcia or Yuta is a big enough match for Jericho on pay-per-view? Also, name one person who has booked better after feuding with Jericho. Oh, I don't know. John Moxley feuded with Jericho early on in the AEW days. I think he's done pretty well for himself. I mean, he's only the AEW World Champion right now. We got King Bling Blah. MJF in WWE against who is money? Cena, Miz, Zayn, etc. Cena would be great. I don't know how much more Cena is going to be doing in the ring, but I mean, MJF against anybody. Pick anybody from that roster. MJF is, he's friends with a lot of those guys. I'm sure he could work with everybody on that roster as a heel, as a babyface, preferably as a heel. Manic Gay Magician, $5 Super Chat. Buy or sell on bigger babyface, Sammy or MJF? Thanks again for all the hard work. So they're in the same position where they're both technically heels who are getting positive reactions from the crowd. But I have to say MJF right now. Everybody loves Sammy. Sammy gets great reactions. But MJF is, I mean, he's on that precipice. He's poised to just break out in a monster way, whatever monster way actually looks like in AEW in terms of numbers, but he's going to be the biggest star in the business. Bob the Builder, on the note of Danielson looking insignificant, that's what happens when you feud with Jericho. Look at Eddie Kingston, lol. Bob the Builder, clearly not a Chris Jericho fan. EJ Slemp, who hates who more? Brett hating Goldberg or the Iron Sheik hating Hulk Hogan? Oh, I think Brett hates Goldberg more. Slipper House Extra Extra. MJF goes full babyface when Omega returns. No. Omega could be back in a week. Omega could be back in 6 months. That's the thing. We don't know when Kenny Omega is going to be back. I don't think MJF is going full on babyface just yet. I think we still have some time before that happens. M. Sund, thank you for the $3. Jericho said he's going to destroy every Ring of Honor champion ever. What do you think the chances are that his reign of terror continues until Punk is back? So you're convinced that Punk is coming back. Well, Punk is a former Ring of Honor world champion, but the storyline needs to culminate with Jericho losing the title to Daniel Garcia, not to CM. So I don't think that is very likely. Rizzo. Don't know if Alfred is a reputable source. Yeah, I wouldn't put much stock into him as a source. Unless people are feeding him stuff from WWE, or feeding him cheese. Has he finished that cheese platter, by the way? Liquid Sharingan, what? He says, by the way, thanks for answering the Bret Hart question in your podcast and where he would fit in the Attitude Era. Yes, I answered that question and a whole bunch of other questions too in the mailbag segment, episode 778. You can check it out from this past Sunday. EJ Slemp, Tales from the Territories made me want to watch Man on the Moon, which I have never seen. Have you? Jim Carrey was perfectly cast as Andy Kaufman. Man on the Moon is a very good movie. Yes, I saw it many years ago. If you've never seen it before, I would suggest checking it out. Hiru with the $5. WWE hires the best talent, quote unquote. I wouldn't classify Omos, Aliyah, Dana Brooke, and Shanky as the best. Well, maybe their standards may have slipped just a little bit. William Rabb, prayers for Hangman. Thank you for the $2. Michael Cuomo with the $4.99. What Hangman wasn't taken to a local medical facility? No, he was taken to a hospital. Those things do exist, believe it or not. Drew McIncock says, hi, buddy. Good to hear from you, Drew. O'Harold, name of the day, Shane Douglas. What are your thoughts? I can't think of Shane Douglas without thinking of Dean Douglas. That's the mark that Vince McMahon left on his career. Shane Douglas was actually very good. He's a very good wrestler. Somebody had shared a clip earlier of a match that he had on WCW Saturday Night. I mean, this had to be back in 91, 92 maybe, with Brian Pillman. It's actually a hell of a match. Bad Luck Jut, $5 super chat. Tony Khan needs to start long-term booking feuds for the TNT title. This match to match booking is not helping Wardlow or mid-card guys like Ricky Starks. Yeah, Ricky Starks got that big win at Grand Slam over Powerhouse Hobbs. I don't think we've seen them since. Where's Ricky Starks? Where's Powerhouse Hobbs? I thought they were about to get the big push. They got the big push. They got the big push right out the fucking door. They got the big push right into catering. How come we're not seeing them on the show? Can't find time for Ricky Starks or Powerhouse Hobbs? And I'm not talking about Rampage either. I'm talking about Dynamite. I'm talking about fucking Rampage. Bernard Frederick, I just wanted to say that your podcast on Sundays is very informative, and I enjoy listening to your take on wrestling current events. Good job. Bernard, thank you. I appreciate that. I love hearing that. I'm glad that you enjoy the shows and that I'm not doing them for nothing. That's always good to know. Hulkling 93. $5 super chat. Awesome MJF Regal segment. I wish Hangman well. Thanks for mentioning the Yankees win. It's all love, but had to show our little bro in Queens how it's done. I don't think the Yankees are winning the whole thing. So enjoy it while it lasts. Enjoy it while it lasts. I have a feeling the Astros are probably going to take the whole fucking thing. Not that I'm happy about that. I have a feeling it's Houston's year. Bob the Builder, if there is a tournament at Full Gear, who wins? Tournament for what? Are you talking about like a number one contenders tournament? Like the one they had last year? Well, I don't know. I mean, if they do a similar tournament like they did last year, and that resulted, I think, in Danielson challenging Hangman, I think, right? A Winter is Coming. So, like, a number one contender type scenario. I don't know. They haven't really set anybody else up, have they? And a lot of it really also depends on who walks out of the pay-per-view as the champion. If MJF wins, then his opponent is going to look very different than if Jon Moxley retains. You know, and then he goes on to defend his title against someone other than MJF. It's hard, you know, the roster is so fragmented right now. You know, you have the members of the Jericho group, you have the members of the Blackpool Combat Club. If MJF wins, I would love to see Bryan Danielson challenge him. Now, I know Danielson is the guy who won last year and then went to Winter is Coming. So for him to do that again... But, you know, you do that, and it goes to the problem I talked about before. He's going to lose. If MJF wins the title at Full Gear, Bryan Danielson is not going to be the first challenger and take the title from him. So it probably would be better to put that off for a few months. Let him rack up some wins in the meantime. I'm trying to think, you know, MJF against Darby is a direction I would love to see them revisit. They had a great match at Full Gear last year to open the show. If Moxley were to retain, you know, I just can't imagine that MJF loses and then they just move on to another challenger. So I don't know. It's too early to tell. Is MJF going to be a full-on babyface coming out of the show? Because then if so, he'll probably wrestle a heel. If he's a heel, then he'll probably wrestle a babyface. It could be anybody. It really could be. They could build up anybody for that spot. What about Ricky Starks? Fuck, go ahead, do it. Ricky Starks and MJF. That could be a TV main event. Maybe not a pay-per-view main event yet. Why not build up Ricky Starks for a spot like that? Milton Herrera Rimoldi. Appreciate the Twitter shout-out last week for the podcast sign. Next time AEW is in Toronto again, I got you. And next time, I will keep my eyes peeled. That was awesome. He had a front row seat. He had Salamonster sign right there in the front row, right over Pac's shoulder. I missed it. So people were sending me signs and everything, and I got to see it after the fact. But yeah, that was great. That was good stuff. I got some great fans showing love for the Sound Off at all these shows. I love it. I love it. Hopefully it'll be the same in Saudi Arabia for Crown Jewel, right? We had some love from our boy Fawaz at the last show. They're going to be back at Crown Jewel in a few weeks. Maybe we'll see some Sound Off love on there. All right, so you guys were able to smash that goal tonight. Well over 500, almost 600 likes here on the stream, so I am nothing if not a man who delivers what the people want to see. And what the people clearly want to see is they want to see some Be the Booker. So let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Breaks my heart to hear that you haven't seen A Bug's Life. I haven't. I haven't seen it. I've seen all the Toy Story movies. I love Toy Story. But I haven't. Just have never seen it. I don't even know who does the voices for it. So let's Be the Booker. We had a 3-for-3 night last night on the Raw stream. So I would love to replicate that here tonight. See what we can do here. We begin with Dexter Lumis, who was supposed to wrestle The Miz to earn himself a WWE contract on Raw last night, got laid out, so the match never happened. Dexter Lumis is booked against who? Dexter Lumis against Magneto. Damian Sandow as Magneto. Dexter Lumis against Magneto might be a good opening match, but that is not a match that's going to sell any tickets. So I have to give that the buzzer. Sorry to Magneto. So now on the women's side, aren't you glad that Vince McMahon isn't booking that fucking show anymore? We head over to the ladies. We begin with, oh, look who it is, everybody. It's Riho. All the Rihos are going to be very happy to see Riho here and Be the Booker. I could not have timed that any better. Riho makes her return to Dynamite tonight, and Riho makes her return to Be the Booker. How about that? The wrestling gods are watching over us tonight. Riho in her return match is going to go one-on-one with Becky Lynch. That would be a very good match. I actually think that would be a hell of a match. Riho and Becky Lynch. I like that match. I think they would work well together. And so now we head over to the tag teams. We gotta book a tag match here. You can't have a wrestling show these days without a tag team match. Or four. We begin with the Von Erichs. Kerry Von Erich and Kevin Von Erich. We're going to be having a Tales from the Territories on World Class in a few weeks. They're actually making a feature film on the Von Erich family. I think, I want to say Zac Efron is attached to that movie. So we got the Von Erichs stepping into the ring with... No. I don't know why it stopped on the Creeds. Everybody thought it was going to be the Creed brothers. But it glitched out there for a second. Now, what? It's not the Creeds. It's the Blackpool Combat Club team of John Moxley and Brian Danielson. Brian Danielson and John Moxley against Kerry and Kevin Von Erich. That is a win. That is a win. Two out of three ain't bad. Two out of three ain't bad. Three for three last night, two for three tonight. Even the Creeds, if it was the Creeds, I think the Creeds and the Von Erichs also would have been a very good match. Hollywood guy with the $5 super chat. If MJF wins the belt, he needs a Roman Reigns push, and I mean holding the belt for a long while. Well, maybe not, you know, 1,000 days. Because they're going to get Roman to 1,000 days. And then some. So maybe not 1,000 days. But I do agree, if MJF wins the title at Full Gear, he should not be dropping it for a while. Ice cream for more. First donator or first donation. Hope all is well, Solomonster. Thank you, Ice Cream. Winston Smith, magnets. How do they work? I don't know, but every time I see magnets, all I can think of is magnets, bitch. That's all I think about when I see magnets now. GCC305 with the $10 super chat. Boy, do I have a crappy boss who I wish Moxley could have did the King Kong lariat to. Oh my God. Glad I have your review to listen to tonight to stay calm and focused. Thank you, Solomonster. Have a great night. Wow. So he obviously does not like his boss very much. Well, GCC, I'm glad you're with us tonight. Let me check one more time here and just see what the latest update is on Hangman. This is from Sean Ross Sapp. Those that we have heard from say that Hangman is responsive and stable. We will leave additional health updates to Page himself or AEW. I am told that a statement should be coming soon. So I would imagine by the morning we should have some kind of update on exactly the condition that he is in. I see Chris Nowinski posting. Now, Chris Nowinski is the lead from the Concussion Legacy Foundation. He flipped out when Tua in the Miami Dolphins game a few weeks ago took that gnarly hit, and they even allowed him to play in that game in the first place. And he just went off on the NFL. He went off on the Dolphins. He went off on everybody. He posted a tweet about the ending to the Hangman and Moxley match. He said, sending positive thoughts to Hangman. This was not a high-risk move. Something went wrong. Referee Paul Turner is trained to recognize a concussion or a possible neck injury, and he stopped the match. Dr. Sampson was ringside and there in seconds. It gives us the best chance for a good outcome. Nowinski has given talks to WWE and AEW before about concussions and concussion protocol, and he used to be a wrestler, so obviously he's still a fan, and he tunes in, and he's very sensitive to how they handle these types of situations. And you know, credit to AEW, because again, they've been criticized rightfully in the past for their handling of some of these types of injuries, but they did exactly what they were supposed to do tonight. You know, and hopefully we'll find out that it wasn't anything serious, but you got to treat it like it is, because you just can't take any chances. And I don't know what Paul Turner saw when he knelt down next to Hangman, but obviously he didn't like what he heard or he didn't like what he saw. And thankfully they handled that situation in the right way. But yeah, concussions, you know, it's easy to say, oh, I hope it's only a concussion. No, you don't. Concussions are nothing to treat like it's a minor thing. Concussion for one person can be very different than a concussion for another person. I think Mick Foley's daughter, in fact, is still suffering the effects of a concussion that she suffered when she was in training to become a wrestler. And it's been a few years. And she still has a lot of lingering issues that have really affected her quality of life. And that was, I think, just one concussion that she suffered. I mean, it's sometimes that's all it takes. And you just need to be smart about these things. GCC says, his name is Ramon, and I can tell you, or can you do a Hell in a Cell 2019 rant on him? I don't know, Ramon. I don't think I can muster up the passion for a rant like that. But Ramon sounds like quite the piece of work. So let's not give him any more attention. And Thomas, thank you for the $2. Says hopefully Hangman is okay. Yeah, concussions are no joke. Concussions can kill you. So I'm going to be live with you again on Friday. It's going to be weird not being live on Wednesday, but it'll be nice to have the night off. Friday night for SmackDown. Back here live on the channel, we'll be talking about Bray Wyatt, whatever else may be happening on the show on Friday. And then, of course, this Sunday, you guys know the drill, episode 779 on all of your usual podcast platforms, Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora, Google Music. We're everywhere. Spreaker. We're all over the place. And if you have not already done so, by the way, I don't mention this enough, but you can help out the podcast a lot. You go into the review section on Apple, you know, Apple Podcasts, and leave a review, 5 stars, what have you. It helps the show out a lot. You can leave a star rating in Spotify for the show, Spreaker as well. Anything like that. Anything like that helps the show out. So thank you to all my channel members here. GCC, you're very welcome. The Outside Line, thank you for being a Sound Off legend. He says he was there live. It did not seem legit until they unbuckled the rope. Yeah, we talked about that earlier. They had to loosen the ring ropes to get him out of the ring to bring him to the back. But anyway, be well, stay safe. All the best to Hangman. Hopefully everything ends up being okay. I will tweet any updates tomorrow that we get on his condition. And back with you again on Friday for the SmackDown stream. So until then, take care, guys. Have a good night.